Welcome to the I Spy with My MyoEye podcast. I am your host, Brittany Murphy. I am a certified oral facial myologist, registered dental hygienist, and lifelong learner. My goal with this podcast is to bring you up to date in current literature and expand your knowledge of oral facial myofunctional disorders so that together we can get to the root cause of the problem. You ask, we'll answer by collaborating with true pioneers and specialties associated with the myo world. Join me on this journey as we dive into the life-altering world of tethered oral tissues and airway space. Let's do this thing. Quick disclaimer, all content expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the speakers and is for informational purposes only. You should not rely on this information as a substitute for, nor does it replace, professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Because every person is so unique, you should always consult with your specialized healthcare professional. Perry Nicholson, aka the Lymph Doc, is a chiropractic physician with a primary focus on treating chronic pain and inflammation via the lymphatic and vascular systems. Owner of Stop Chasing Pain, LLC, international speaker and educator of the Self-Care Mojo series, Lymphatic Mojo, Blood Flow Mojo, Tongue Mojo, Glymphatic Mojo, Visceral Mojo, Vagus Nerve Mojo, Primal Movement Mojo. Dr. Perry is an expert in movement assessment and diagnosis. Certified and trained as a functional movement specialist and selective functional movement assessment specialist, he uses programs designed to find sources of non-painful dysfunction so your site of pain improves. A regular columnist for Dynamic Chiropractic Practice Insights, Chiropractic Economics, To Your Health Magazine, Advanced Physical Therapy, PT on the Net, Live Strong, Strength Coach, and other industry publications for health and fitness. After healing from a severe back injury and autoimmune disease, he decided to dedicate himself to offering these self-care approaches to others. Designer of the Body Ecosystem Hierarchy is a self-treatment program whose sole purpose is to empower you to regain control of your life from chronic pain. He's a 1997 graduate of Palmer Chiropractic University and a master fitness trainer with over 25 years of experience in the health industry. Welcome, Dr. Perry. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your very busy schedule to come and chat with me. I appreciate it. So welcome.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's really an honor and a privilege to be here. I'm excited.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm super excited to have you on for you to share with the listeners a little bit about yourself and your background and how you came to be known as the Lymph Doc. You know, as a myofunctional therapist, we do talk about lymphatic drainage and things like that. So I'm super excited to have you on here. So tell us a little bit about yourself first.
Sure, I'd be happy to. Well, I came to be known as the Lymph Doc because I just started calling myself the Lymph Doc. Honestly, it's that simple. Yeah. And because I just began to get into lymphatics many, many years ago. It's probably going on 10 years now, I think, out of necessity, honestly, because I got really, really sick with what some people would call an autoimmune disease, but I had polyautoimmunity, which means I had more than one. I never really got an explanation of the name for what it was or how I even got it, which is still the case for people today. And the traditional approaches that I was trying to take to get myself well, based on the stuff that I've been studying for the prior 20 years being in healthcare as a chiropractor in the beginning, but branching out into doing a lot of stuff with muscles and movement and the fascial system and neurology. So, you know, I had a lot of stuff under my belt, but it wasn't enough to help me with what I was dealing with then. I had to take control myself in order to save myself because the people that I was trying to get help from in the medical community weren't helping me either. So I was actually getting worse, even though they were trying to improve me, you know, so they didn't intentionally make me worse. It's just that people didn't really know what they were chasing, quite honestly. And that's what stop chasing pain means. I mean, they're going after symptoms. They're not looking for causes. Mm-hmm. Many of the interventions were medical interventions from surgeries and antibiotics that sometimes you need them, but I was honestly in the abyss. And I said, you know what? I need to start to think dynamically different. than what I'm looking at. So then what I began to do is look more at the immune system. And I never really looked at that system before because, you know, I'm a chiro, and we go after the musculoskeletal and the nervous system and fascia. But I needed to go. And when I saw it, I'm like, oh my goodness, where's this system been all my life? This is amazing. And then that hit me that, you know what? All these systems work together. You can't chase after one. Mm-hmm. They integrate. They try to help each other. And the one thing that I was missing, honestly, in relationship to the immune system was the lymphatic system. And the only reason I found it is because I went to a workshop in London to study energy medicine. And what I mean by energy medicine is to try to figure out what cells need at an individual cellular level to heal and recover and regenerate. Because I figured if I could figure that out, I can help the other trillion that are going to do the same thing. I went to a workshop and I was really, really sick. And somebody said, you know, I think I know what your problem is. I'm like, what is it? He said, I think you have a lymph problem. And I actually went, lymph what? Like, I just wasn't even on my radar, right?
Right.
And they subsequently went to do a lymphatic assessment on me. And every place that they touched hurt more than the last, right? So a lot of painful places that I had and a lot of inflammation. And the next, it hurt like hell, honestly. But the next day, I kid you not, I felt like 30% different, like an improvement of energy. And I started to get my brain back. And I said, this is amazing. And then I just never looked back at that point. And here's what really hit off to me is that the lymphatic system was always there the whole time. And I was pressing on these areas, but I wasn't thinking of lymphatics. I was just thinking of fascia or muscle. Or the bones underneath. And so I was working it, but not realizing that I was working it. And then that's when I felt better that quickly, that's what I devoted the rest of my life to. And then I got really angry, honestly, at myself because I didn't know it. But then I got angry at medicine because they didn't know it. And then I realized that, well, you don't know what you don't know.
Exactly.
and then what happens is that how is the everyday person going to have any idea about the lymphatic system? And then lo and behold, that's when I started to get into a lot of oral facial work and stuff with the tongue, because that's when I discovered, whoa, the tongue has a lot of lymph in there, and so does every tooth. Mm-hmm. And I suffered from, you know, horrific teeth and periodontal disease and gum disease my whole life without understanding why, besides just it's just genetics, which it might be, but it was also lymph related to what I believe, what I know now. And so that's pretty much what brought me here is one thing, having to pull myself out of the abyss myself.
Absolutely. Now, as far as the lymphatic drainage, are you doing like manual work with patients? Is it teaching them different, like, is it through movement, dynamic movement? Like how are you doing this? I know there's vibration plates and things like that.
Yeah. So here's the dirty little secret. Everything you do always moves lymph. Like just moving moves lymph and breathing moves lymph. So the more you move, that's a good thing. And the more you breathe, specifically through your diaphragm muscle, the better, because we'll get into it later probably. The diaphragm increases pressure in the body and it acts like a pump. So it helps move all the fluids in the body, not just lymphatics, right? So it's not any particular type of magical movement that's better for the lymph. But I find this is people usually don't move a lot, especially if they're sick or they're in pain and they don't breathe well, if at all. And if they do, they don't breathe through the diaphragm. They breathe through an open mouth and the neck and the shoulders. And that's not where you want to take it from, right? You want to take it from the nose. And it's difficult to breathe through the nose when you got a mouth that's a hot mess. You follow? Right. So that's where it comes into play. So what happens is, though, is that people say this all the time. Well, if I'm already moving, I'm already breathing, why do I need to do any manual work? Mm-hmm. Well, one, it's this. Sometimes the system is so overloaded and so blocked that those are no longer enough to move the lymph.
Interesting.
You got to get in there and you move it by hand. Mm-hmm. So I always give analogies. The lymph is 90% water.
Okay.
The rest of it, 10% is like hormones and plasma and protein and all the other stuff. And it behaves like water. So sometimes, you know, if you got water coming down the stream and you put big blocks in front of it, it's not going to get around the blocks until you go in there and you lift the rocks out of the way. Mm-hmm. And that's what you have to do when you do it by hand. But here's the key. You can't just push anywhere on the body and expect the lymph to flow the right way, because it always flows based on pressure. So what I mean by that is this. Hydrodynamics, which is the law of fluid movements from physics, means that water or fluid goes from high pressure to low pressure. Just remember that. Mm-hmm. It goes from high pressure to low pressure. Think about a water dam that you see. There's all the water on one side. That's high pressure. There's no water on the other side. When you open up the door of the dam, which way does the water go? Well, to the low side, right? So the lowest pressure in your body for lymphatics and the lowest pressure in your body for veins, the vein flow. Because the lymph and the veins always work together, because the lymph flows into the veins. And embryologically wise, lymph forms from veins. So in my world, if you got a vein problem, you got a lymph problem. If you got a lymph problem, you got a vein problem, right? That's blood flow and lymph flow. They always go together. You can't separate them. It's not possible. So the lowest pressure in your body for fluid flow is at the collarbone. That's it. So if you know the lowest pressure is at the collarbone, then I want you to think and extrapolate, where would the highest pressure be? The furthest away from the collarbone, which right. is where? Your brain, your hands, and your feet.
Right.
So everything's got to go from your brain, your hands, and your feet to the collarbone. Mm-hmm. And in order to get there, they have to pass all these different lymph nodes, which are basically like little mini toilets that flush the waste and kill the bacteria, viruses, toxins, cancer cells, metabolic waste, all the gook that you don't want in your body that needs to get out. Those are the mini toilets. And you got about 600 to 700 of them. So there's a lot of mini toilets in there to get rid of the waste. And you don't want clogged toilets. Like you clog a toilet in your house. I don't want to be in your house. It's pretty nasty, right? Well, the same thing would happen in your body when your toilets are clogged. So what that means is that you have to learn that you can't press on areas without knowing where that fluid's going to flow once you press on it. You right. understand?
Absolutely.
So what I mean by that is that if I pressed on your feet and I'm working on your feet that are swollen, or you have pain in your feet, if you have pain in your feet, I know you have inflammation. If you have inflammation, then you have lymph there. Right. So if I push on your foot, I know that everything in your foot's got to go to where? Your collarbone.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So let me ask you a question. What if there's a blockage from your foot to your collarbone?
What are you going to do? What are we going to do? We have to get rid of that.
Exactly. There you go. Because what happens is that if the fluid and the stuff can't get past the block, then it's going to stay in the foot or stay right. lower. And you don't want that, because that means you're going to stay injured. You're going to stay sick. Right. So it's also, it blocks stuff going out, right, out of the body. But it also blocks stuff going down to the foot so the foot can heal itself, because it's a two-way street.
Right.
It's waste out and nutrients and oxygen in. Mm-hmm. That's it. The supply chain, if you will. And guess what? If cells don't get waste out and nutrients in, you're not getting better.
Right.
So all I do is I just teach people how to think about the fluid flow. Mm-hmm. And I know that was a lot to throw at you, but I'm going to tell you what the takeaway is on this whole thing I just told you. You always start at the collarbone when you want to lift the rocks out of the way and improve fluid flow everywhere in the body. Because if you're blocked at the collarbone, nothing can drain well, even right. your mouth, even your tongue, even your teeth, because your mouth wants to drain where? To the collarbone.
Right.
So whenever you do lymph work, you always go collarbone up to the top of the head and collarbone down to the feet. So you have to move the blocks from low pressure to high pressure. And once you do that, hang on for the ride, man, because your cells are like, oh, this is freaking awesome, you know? Because why? Because you're just giving them what they need to do what they're programmed to do. Does that make sense?
Patients that you see that come to you for chronic pain, is that most of the time the issue, that there's this blockage in the lymph system somewhere that they're not able to remediate it?
Yeah, so here's my running joke. Everybody's got a lymph problem. They just don't know it yet.
Okay, because that was my next question. What are symptoms of lymphatic drainage issues? But I guess that's probably, the list is very long.
Yeah, so let me kind of cycle back to that first question. That if you got something chronic, I know it's a lymph issue somewhere. It doesn't mean it's the only issue, you understand? But
Okay.
I know it's going to be a piece of the puzzle because it's such an important system that controls the environment that all of your cells live in. So the other systems can't function well if the lymphatic system has an issue.
Right.
It's the breaker switch, honestly, for everything else. All right.
Okay.
And how do I know that? It's because everybody goes after all the other systems and they don't really look at the lymphatics. And when you do the lymphatics, all the other systems begin to feel a lot better when you're doing it because your cells live in a fluid environment. Okay. It's called a milieu. But basically, I tell people, I want you to think of your body as like a big giant fish tank aquarium because that's what it is. And you're mostly water, a huge amount of water. And lymph is mostly water. So I tell people, just think about a body aquarium. It's the easiest way that you can understand this. You ever see a fish tank that's really beautiful and it's got great water and lovely fish? It only stays that way because it's got a filter system, right? There's a filter system up in the corner that's bubbling all the time. It keeps the water moving and it keeps oxygen going in the tank. But most of the filter system you don't see because it's underneath because it doesn't look that nice, but it keeps everything going, right? Now, what if the filter system went kaput? The water doesn't show you signs of distress right away. It takes a couple of days. Then all of a sudden, you're like, man, this water just doesn't look so great. Then it looks green. Then you start to see crazy stuff growing on the sides of the glass. And then your fish start to look sick, and it's a yucky tank. And then you start to have disease, right? Because one, you're not getting movement in the water. And two, there's a lot of waste in the water because the fish are pooping in it all the time. But guess what? Your cells are pooping inside of you all the time, too. That's called a metabolic process of a cell called life. They stop doing that when you're dead. You don't want to be dead, right? So your cells are pooping all day long in the water that they're living in. And I tell people all the time, if you ever looked at the tank where the fish are struggling with oxygen, how do they look? They're like this. They can't breathe. Well, guess what? Your cells can't breathe either. And then you can't get well. How are you going to make new cells when you can't keep the ones that you got online? You're not. And that's what recovery and regeneration is. So then I ask a simple question. Now, what would you do to fix that tank long term? Well, I'd probably fix the filter system
Yeah, I was
underneath,
going to
right?
say replace the filter system.
Yeah, because what happens if you don't replace the filter system, but you just take the dead fish out and you take all the water out and you clean the tank and you put new water in and you
Yeah,
don't fix the filter system? What comes back in a couple of weeks? Well, that's what I want you to take away. That's what I'm telling you. That's why symptoms come back because people are just going after the stuff in the tank and they're not going after the tank itself. So I always tell you the same answer when you say, hey, doc, I mean, could the lymph affect this, this, this? And I'm going to say, fish tank. You got to think fish tank. Because all the other systems that you're chasing live in the fish tank. Now, I'm not saying that if you have a clean fish tank, that life is going to be great and everything's going to get fixed and it's unicorns and rainbows, right? What I am telling you is if you do fix the tank, you stand a much greater chance of getting there. If you don't fix the tank, you don't stand a chance in hell. It ain't happening. It's just physiologically not possible. So we always check the lymph system and we always work the to make sure that we can keep it as functioning as best as we can, because you don't want that waste products inside of you. It's the same thing with the mouth, right? I mean, you got a lot of bacteria in your mouth.
And that brings me to
Well,
another point I wanted to bring up. I saw on your Instagram recently you posted about the importance of tongue scraping. And so my background before I was a myofunctional therapist, I was a dental hygienist. So if you want to talk about tongue scraping, the importance and why you stress it to your patients.
Oh yeah, I love tongue scraping. That is such an amazing thing for me because they teach that a lot in Ayurvedic medicine. I've been around for, thousands of years, which means it probably works if it's been around that long. And you just honestly, you're just paying a lot more love and attention to your tongue because nobody ever really takes a look at that thing unless you bite into it. Then you realize, wow, that really hurts. But most people don't even think about it. But I consider it a detoxification organ because it bleeds toxins all day long, right? And your tongue very often can get puffy and swollen when you have blocked lymphatics. And then the bacteria ends up staying up and around everything in your mouth, all over everything. Though you need bacteria in your mouth, and I don't like the term good and bad or just like different. You need them all. Okay. And then they work with each other. The idea is that you have more of a quote unquote good ones as opposed to the bad ones. Right. And even when you have good ones, you need a lot of different types of good ones, not just one type of bacteria. That's just that diversity, if you will. So I tell people to scrape the tongue because it's like a massage for your tongue. And it's first of all, it just scrapes off the gook. Second of all, it feels magnificent.
It
It feels
does. It feels
fabulous.
so good.
Oh my goodness, you're like, why haven't I scraped my tongue my whole life up till now?
Yep.
And it pumps the lymph. It pumps the lymphatics. Now your tongue, as you know, being a myofunctional therapist, neurologically, it's really important to the brain. First of all, because without it makes communication very difficult. So neurologically, it pays attention to that as well. But there's a lot of brain space devoted to the tongue, how much you can sense around your mouth, and then how well you can move the mouth structure in general. And so when something takes up that much space on the brain, that means it's really, really, really important to the overall function of the entire body. So, but
You
here's what I tell people
had
why that I put a video up about the tongue scraping, and I told them, now that I want you to think not just about tongue, I want you to think this way. No matter what you're going to do from now on in relationship to manual therapy or touching or anything to the body, I need you to think, how is that going to influence blood flow and lymph flow? And where does it got to go? So if you know that everything in the mouth is, when you massage it and you scrape it, is going to stimulate lymph, where does the lymph in the tongue want to go? To the collarbone, right? And then I ask, where does the blood flow to the tongue come from? Well, you should be pointing to the same place because it's coming from your heart going up, right? So not only the lymph flow, but you have the vein flow. The veins have to flow down to the collarbone. So that's the supply chain. So what I want you to think about is this, is, yeah, what I want to think about is what happens if there might be some kind of tension or tightness in the collarbone or in your neck or underneath your jaw, just because you have tightness or tension from stress. Maybe you have tightness or tension in there because you're not doing some of the work that you teach of how to control the muscles of your face and your throat and your tongue, right? And you may have poor posture, which you have tight tension up in the neck, which most humans do. Tight tissue doesn't allow fluids to move well. So then you're trying to scrape the tongue, but you're sending all the waste to a block that's beneath it. And then the blood flow to the tongue that you're trying to take care of can't get there. So all I'm trying to tell people to do is, before scraping your tongue, from thinking from a lymphatic and blood. So now what I tell people to do is, before you scrape your tongue, just rub and massage your collarbone, rub the sides of your neck, rub underneath your jaw from the chin back and back towards the front, rub along your cheek. Right. And then you go scrape your tongue. Why? Because I just help you open up the stuff, the pipes to go in and the pipes to go out. And then your tongue has got a big giant smile on it because you did the right thing before you scraped your tongue. You open up the flow routes. And that's going to make a huge difference, a significant difference in your results.
Now, when we talk about, before you had said how we'll probably bring up the diaphragm again and, the importance of nasal breathing and diaphragmatic breathing. And do you want to talk a little bit about tongue positioning and its influence on pelvic floor pressure, diaphragm, even balance?
Sure, absolutely. Well, you know better than anybody the link to all that. You're probably even more qualified to talk about it than I am. So yeah, everything in the body to me is based on blood flow and lymph flow, but that's all fluids flow, but it's all based on pressure, right? So fluids move in the body with your blood pressure. Everybody knows about that one. But then you have breathing pressure. So you ideally want to breathe through your diaphragm muscle, which is a muscle that sits above your organs, you know, at the bottom of the rib cage. So whenever you take a breath in and you inhale, you increase pressure throughout the body, particularly in your abdomen. It's called intra-abdominal pressure is the big fancy word. It's like inflating a balloon in your belly. And that pushes all of your organs down towards the floor. So your pelvic diaphragm or your pelvic floor hammock basket can catch it, right? So then when you exhale, then the diaphragm muscle pulls back up and then the organs slip. Okay, right, so where do you start on this?
So we'll start again talking about, you were talking about the hammock basket of your diaphragm.
Yeah. Right. So you've had the inhalation, which pushes the organs down towards the floor, and the pelvic floor, pelvic diaphragm should catch it. And then you're going to exhale, and then the diaphragm comes back up, and then the organs come back up, and then that's the pump. So that moves the lymphatics through the body. It moves the vein fluid through the body. Now, it's interesting that most of your blood resides in the veins. About 70% are in the veins, okay? And the vein is going to move through movement and through your breathing, okay? That's the biggest thing that's going to move the vein flow. And so the pressure is in the abdomen, but you also have pressure in other areas of the body. They're called body cavity pressures. So people may know of the pressure inside of your head. Like when you get a pressure headache, it's just pounding and you're like, oh my goodness, I got a pounding headache. So that's intracranial pressure. Then you have pressure in your thorax, it's your lungs. And that's really important for people to know that if you like puncture a lung and you like start to leak the fit, you can't breathe, right? So that's the thoracic pressure. Then you have the intra-abdominal pressure, and then you have pelvic pressure, but you also have pressure in your neck. Now, each one of these pressure zones are different. They don't have the same pressure, but they have to play off of each other. And you can change the pressure in those regions based on using your tongue. The reason being is that the tongue position, they actually in osteopathic medicine consider the tongue a diaphragm. So just think of diaphragm as something that controls pressure. So if you keep your tongue at the floor of your mouth where it doesn't belong, you've lost the ability to control pressure in the mouth and the neck, and it influences pressure all the way down to your pelvic floor. If you stick your roof, if you take your tongue to the roof of your mouth, which is where it's supposed to be. And most humans don't keep it there because they have a weak tongue or they have a fat tongue because it's swollen from too many lymphatics, or it's just weak because it doesn't sit at the roof of the mouth, or you just might have an issue. So many factors that your palate may be too small, can't put up there, might have a tongue tie. I mean, there's a lot of different variables, but I just want people to know where the tongue is not supposed to be. At the floor of your mouth. So if you stick the tongue at the roof of your mouth, what happens is you automatically change the alignment of your head as it sits on your neck as it sits on your spine. It forces you to breathe through your nose instead of your mouth. So you have an increased motion of your diaphragm muscle without even thinking about it. And the tongue is fascially, that's connective tissue, connected to the diaphragm down towards that pelvic floor, all the way into your feet. So if you lose the position of the tongue, you'll still be able to function because your body's going to compensate and adapt. That's what it does. But you're going to be much less efficient at what you're trying to do in relationship to your movement, but also your sports performance and your recovery. It's much more fatiguing to the brain. You're not going to get as much oxygen delivery to the brain because you just choked off the airflow in your neck because of the poor posture. You probably got tightness and tension in your neck, so blood flow is compromised already. You may have stagnation of your lymphatics in your abdomen. That's where most of your lymph lives. So if you can stick your tongue to the roof of your mouth, you're going to move your diaphragm better, which means you're going to pump your lymph more. You're going to move your liver more. So you're going to improve lymph flow and vein flow and how your body feels everywhere. Just from simply sticking your tongue at the roof of your mouth. This is a no joke thing. Like, once I lay it out for people, it blows their mind how much that thing makes a difference, mm-hmm. right? It changed my life when I started to do it. And it wasn't easy for me to do it because I've got one of the weakest tongues you could ever imagine because it would always something form my mouth. Mm-hmm. And I had the classic sleep apnea. I would sleep with my mouth wide open. My mouth would get really dry. And I just had brain fog and fatigue all day long because I choked off oxygen and lymph flow. And so that's why I started to do the tongue work, the tongue strengthening, the working all the muscles around my head, neck, and face, taping my mouth shut at night when I sleep so I can keep my mouth shut. And, you know, my life turned around.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about so many people, you know, ask about the vagus nerve, or they say, hey, I've just read this post on the vagus nerve. A lot of patients, I feel like, at least for me, they're coming in and they're always talking about the vagus nerve. Can you discuss a little bit about the importance of the vagus nerve and like maybe two or three simple things people can do to help engage or activate their vagus nerve?
Sure. I already told them to you. How cool is that? Yeah. Everybody needs some vagus nerve work. Now, the vagus nerve, for people that don't know about it, it's a nerve in your body. It's the most important nerve in your body because it controls your body's ability to control inflammation. Right. And it also puts you into a resting state, a healing state, a recovery state called your parasympathetic state. Mm-hmm. And that state is the opposite of where most humans live in, which are sympathetic, dominant, fight or flight, hang on for your life so you don't die mode, right? Mm-hmm. You're just stuck in, especially over the last 3 years because of the zombie apocalypse. Okay. So it's also a cranial nerve, which means it comes off of your brain. Mm-hmm. All right. Particularly off your what's called your medulla, and you got a left one and you got a right one. It's cranial nerve number 10 out of 12. So you actually have 24 cranial nerves instead of 12 because there's 12 on the left, 12 on the right. And the most important thing for you to know is this: as soon as you stick your tongue to the roof of the mouth, you automatically begin to stimulate the vagus nerve because of the position of the tongue at the back in relationship to a muscle in the back of the throat. Just call your palatoglossus, that's innervated by cranial nerve number 10. Okay. So stick your tongue up there, you're already going to help that. Plus, when you stick your tongue up there, you pull your skull over top center of your spine, which helps the alignment of the vagus nerve as it goes down your neck, because the vagus nerve exits from your skull right behind the angle of your jaw on your left side and on your right side. And it goes down your neck. Holy cow. Guess what? To your collarbone. Then it goes down to your abdomen, to all of your organs that you've been stimulating by breathing through your diaphragm to move your organs. Because whenever you move your organs, you stimulate your vagus nerve. So that's why you want to breathe through your diaphragm, right? Mm-hmm. But also the vagus nerve, as it exits the neck right behind the angle of the jaw, that's the largest lymph node in the neck, sits there on the left side and the right side, mm-hmm. right? And then it goes down right through the area of the collarbone that a lot of people have tightness and tension in.
Yep.
So when I just showed you how to massage the collarbone, massage the side of your neck, massage mm-hmm. underneath your jaw and on your cheek, as you keep your tongue to the roof of your mouth and you're breathing through the diaphragm, guess what you just did? Stimulated the heck out of your vagus nerve, right? And I'm going to give you a trick question. Mm-hmm. Out of all those areas where that vagus nerve runs, what do you think runs along with it? Arteries, veins, and lymph. Mm-hmm. So whenever you massage all those regions, which one of those systems do you think you're impacting? Yes is the answer. Every single one of them.
Yes is the answer. I love it. because they all work together.
Yeah. But here's the caveat. This is what's going to separate your results from others. Mm-hmm. Don't just start rubbing the vagus nerve to rub the vagus nerve. Mm-hmm. You rub it in relationship to how I told you based on pressure, collarbone up. Because mm-hmm. I'm going after way more than the vagus nerve.
Right.
So when you understand that concept, it makes a huge difference. So tongue work and working on the mouth is critical. Most people just don't do it because, for one reason, they don't have pain there.
Yep, because they're always just chasing the pain.
Yeah, they're chasing the pain everywhere else,
Yep.
but and they're not getting better. And listen, you should treat pain. I want you to treat pain, but if it's not getting better, that's probably not the spot,
Right.
right? And then with my work, I just say, why don't you look at places that nobody ever really looks and they don't pay attention to? And the tongue is a big one. Why? Because I already told you the answer, because it's really, really important to your brain.
Now, where could so I know you have these courses through your website, the Tongue Mojo course, the Lymphatic Mojo program. Are these for healthcare professionals? Are patients able to look into this stuff? Who's it for?
Yeah, I get asked that question a lot. People say, Doc, I'm not a healthcare professional. Can I take your course? And my answer is always the same. If you're walking on this planet, you can come to my course. It's good for
I
you.
love it. That's
Because
so great. And it,
it's for you. I mean, because listen, everybody needs to know this information. And you should know this information. So we make it very simple. We make it very applicable. We'll teach you some of the gobbledygook, anatomy and physiology words, but don't let those intimidate you, because you need to know how they all work together. That's the biggest piece of the puzzle, right? So we make it easy for everyone to be able to do this work to themselves. So they're all self-treatments, but you can do it to or self-care treatments, I like to call it self-care. And you can do it to other people if you want to, if you're licensed to do so, or you can just share it with other people so they can do it to themselves.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll definitely make sure to link those in the show notes. Is there anything you'd like to leave the listeners before we wrap up?
But one, just to say thank you so much for having me on the show. It was really a lot of fun. I don't know if it comes across, but you asked me about lymph. I get really excited.
Love it. It's like me for the tongue.
Exactly. Here's the thing is that I want people to realize is that sometimes it's just the small things that you need to do on a consistent basis that can make the biggest results for you. So often when we're struggling and we're suffering, we want to do whatever we can to get better, and we just do so many things at one time, and it's overwhelming. First of all, it's overwhelming to a body that's already overwhelmed because it's trying to heal and recover, but we just sledgehammer with honestly just too many good things as well. So I'll tell people just start easy, focus on one or two things, what I call tiny little action steps, little and often over the long haul, to where if you can just start to pay a little bit more attention to keeping your tongue at the roof of your mouth, working with you, doing your program, scraping your tongue, breathing a little bit more through your diaphragm than you do now. Within a couple of days, if not a couple of weeks, you will start to notice some profound changes, because these are fundamental basic building blocks of everything else. Because I always tell people that I can't remember who told this to me, but it was like the tongue is not neutral. It's either going to work for you or against you. So if you're not doing something intentional to help your tongue, I'm going to tell you right now, it's working against you.
And like you said, it they're tiny things to do. They're easy to implement. Just be consistent with them and, continue that. And, the changes you see can be incredibly impactful.
Yeah. So, health is a direction. It's not a destination. And the direction does this, it zigzags and it loopy doops and circles back on itself. It doesn't go in a straight line. So there'll be days when you feel great, days when you may not feel so great, but that's how it works in relationship to balance. That's yin and yang. That's the homeostasis. So you can find your flow state, right? And that's the biggest lesson that I got for me is that in the beginning, I was very resentful of my illness. And I was feeling, why is my body turning on me? Why is it punishing me? Why did I have to go through that? And I realized, you know what? I had to re-mean that. Because I can't change what happened to me, but I can change the meaning of what happened to me.
Right.
And it was this. I would not be sitting here right now talking to you about lymphatics if I didn't get crushed. Because that's how I found lymphatics. I wouldn't be talking to you about the tongue, because why would I? I mean, everything was great with my tongue, or at least I thought it was. Mm-hmm. So our life path, if you will, you know, our destiny, if you will, whatever you believe in, we usually find it through the difficult times, through the suffering, because if you're comfortable, why are you going to change?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more with you.
Yeah.
It's so true. It's so true. Thank you, Dr. Perry, so, so much for coming on again and taking the time. This was great. You know, I'll do the editing. It'll be great. Dr. Perry, for everybody, he took the time out of his busy day. He's currently at the car dealership and he's still logged on to chat with me. So again, thank you so much. We appreciate everything you do. We'll link all your handles. If you don't follow Dr. Perry on social media, you should. And again, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thank you so very much. I had a great time. Lovely interview. It was a blast. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of I Spy with My Maya Y. If you want to hear more about these episodes, leave a review on Apple Podcasts or feel free to contact me at hello@myctom.com. Don't forget to subscribe as well and let us know of any subject or guest speaker you'd like to hear from. Help spread the word by sharing today's episode on your social media page. You can find me on Facebook at CT Oral Facial Myology or Instagram handle CT_oralfacial_myology. Everybody have a wonderful day.